Good afternoon. Thanks, Gary. Good afternoon. My name is Michelle Williams. I'll be the moderator for this session. I want to thank you all on behalf of the Women's Caucus for coming to our session. And before we get started, I want to let you know that I'll introduce each speaker right before their presentation. And also, on behalf of the Women's Caucus, I just wanted to bring it to your attention. If you're interested in seeing some of our other special sessions that we have planned for tomorrow, you can come get a flyer from up front at the end. Also, we have some sign-in sheets circulating around. We do that because we need to make sure we're actually counting attendance, so please make sure you sign a sign-in sheet before you leave. Also, we're going to save all questions and answers to the end of all the presentations. So please make sure that if you have a presentation, a question that occurs during a presentation, that you jot it down so that you won't forget. Okay? All right, so our first presenter, who is also the winner of our Best Abstract Award, which will be presented at the end of the presentation, has a presentation titled Unwanted Humans, Pathways to the Street, Risky Behavior for the Girl Child in Cote d'Ivoire. Our presenter is Dr. Andrew McCurry. He is a behavioral health scientist with research interests in socioeconomic and physical environmental factors that could account for disparities in health outcomes among adolescents and emerging adults. He is very passionate about child rights and how the violation of these rights impact children's well-being, including their health, socioeconomic, and physical development. He received his PhD in social work from the University of Missouri-Columbia and a master's degree in public policy and management from Carnegie Mellon University. As a postdoctoral fellow at the Center for Addiction and Behavioral Health Research in the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee, he examined the impact of civic participation of men who have sex with men on their sexual risk behaviors. His doctoral dissertation research investigated the impact of household environment on the health outcomes of adolescents in Kenya. He is also a recipient of the Population Reference Bureau Dissertation Fellowship in Population Policy Communication. Without further ado.
Good afternoon, all. First, I'd like to thank my co-author and researchers, Denise Capero. She's the one who did the data collection in Cote d'Ivoire, and Dr. Toko Maposa. She is also, her interest is looking at violence against women and especially how it affects the risk behavior among African American Africans in diaspora and in Africa. This particular study is a subset of part of a larger study that I was doing with Save the Children that looked at community care, looked at domestic workers, especially child domestic workers in Cote d'Ivoire, and the issues that are affecting them in the migration from rural to urban areas. But when reviewing the data, when I was looking at it, I saw that there was a lot of issue of risk that the girl child was exposed, especially in the street. So I decided to also have a slice and see, okay, what are the issues? And part of the reasons why I have the unwanted human, one of the narratives from the qualitative interviews was one of the girls said she felt like an unwanted human because of the way she was being treated. Just to go notice. As I said, this is a part of a larger study which looked at overrepresentation of the adolescent girls in large urban areas. And if you've been looking at some of the data, especially if you're familiar, you'll find there's a large number of girls in streets in some of the urban areas. And the question was why? And part of it could be to the suggestion, the rule to urban migration of young and women looking at opportunities in the city. But part of it is the question of becoming domestic workers and the relationship looking at family to family, where you have children in rural areas where you have they have family in urban areas, and the family sent their child to go either for education or for to help out, and part of it is also becoming the domestic worker. The issue that we found and we wanted to have a discussion is the issue of gender and vulnerability. looking at the violence the girls were experiencing, and looking at the foster of the children, and sharing parent sharing practices due to issues of poverty, family dysfunction, and schooling needs. Because, as I said, the narrative in part of if you are in many African countries, not just in Cote d'Ivoire, is the issue of when you have families from rural areas sending the child to a relative, sister, uncle, into the urban areas to get some of the resources that an urban area would be able to provide. But in return, a number of these children are also expected to contribute in the upkeep in the house, or assisting their uncle, their aunts in the household tasks. But one of the things which we also have a discussion in when we're talking about domestic, especially talking about child domestic workers, is the issue of gender and power they have. When we're looking at, in this paper, we also looked at the issue of gender power, and including the opportunity of increasing the risk among the African women and child, the limited support these children were having, especially among the adults, and the cultural practices that can impact. For Cote d'Ivoire, one of the challenges in the definition of child and woman is also during menarche, where the because of the adolescence as they pass, and sometimes you're only talking about the conversion or discussion of reference being is sometimes from early adolescent. And the experiences of child sexual abuse by the girls. So the purpose was looking at factors that drive the young girls from to a vulnerable way of life once they move into urban areas. Okay, and get an in-depth understanding of the life situations for that they experience and once they're in the city. One of the other challenges when we're talking about getting some information for the girls in the street, especially the transient nature that they have, is that you needed to have to ensure that we are getting a mechanism of protection, especially when we're interviewing. So we got an approval from the Cote d'Ivoire National Ethics Committee before the study started, and we wanted to ensure that the girls are also safe during the interview process, and including the safe places that we can. So we I did partner with a local NGO to who are part of delivering care for the transit girls within in Cote d'Ivoire to ensure that they were able to, we were able to interview in safe places. My partner, researcher, she's the one who also was versed also in the local community and understanding. She was also the one who was leading the part of the data collection in Cote d'Ivoire. We looked at a purposeful mixed method to try to look to collect the data, because we wanted to make sure that not only are we looking at measures, validated measures that have been used, looking at societal issues that are affecting those girls, but also wanted to have some structured interviews and focus group to see what are their experiences, what are the issues that they were facing once they come into the city. So the data collection was done in Abidjan, Cote d'Ivoire. We had one NGO was participating, conducting this, the type of January, it should be this year, not 14. That's the type of, the study was conducted from September up to this year. We were able to interview 334 girls with, and about 30 for in-depth interview. One of the striking features when we started looking at the girls in, on the street, we found that a huge proportion were from rural areas, but we also found girls who were also from Cote d'Ivoire. Okay. Age, those are the ones from the urban area were slightly older compared to the ones from rural area. Many of them reported financial and emotional problems, and about 85% of them did report stress and sadness when interviewed. nearly all of them had, when we interviewed, had been working as domestic workers. 77%, which came to the urban area by far. And I only say 77 because sometimes you say, okay, we had the girls who were from Abidjan. Some of the girls have got, let's say, might have a mother in the rural area, but their dad lived in the urban. So sometimes they'll be sent to their dad, and they identify themselves as being in Abidjan, but the issue also was that a lot of them were brought to the urban area by a parent, by an aunt, by an uncle, or somebody who was related to them. 50 of them ended up working as commercial sex workers in exchange for money, food, and shelter and protection. And there were a large number who was, who have had identified as sex workers that came when you look at it from rural areas and from the urban areas. So when you're looking at 50% of them came from the rural areas, 44 came from the urban areas. And a huge percentage, as you can see, were introduced because of by a friend. So in other words, once they went to the street, one of the ways of surviving, if they wanted to, thinking of how do you survive, and they befriend a friend or a friend in the street, they're the ones who were introducing them to practices. But one of the sad part when we started looking at that data was the level of exploitation and risky behavior. Only 7% of the girls that we interviewed were always using condom. And when you're looking at from the urban and from rural areas, there was a huge, approximately twice the rate from the rural compared to the ones in the urban. Many of those ones who are not using, who are having unprotected sex, was because their clients refused to wear a condom. And then the sad part was a large proportion of them, when they refused to have sex, were either forced or beaten. So imagine themes. In context, there was persuasive themes which came out from the world in terms of issues of resilience and issue of support. Okay. Part of the NGO that we're working was also trying to be able to help this, a number of the girls to go back and especially reunite with their parents. But part of the challenge was that going back to the village also created an issue of stigma. In other words, the parent who took up their girl back home was also considered a problem. And then, as I said, one of the girls felt she was not basically an unwanted human by the treatment she got from the peers or even relatives back in the village. Okay. Issues of support. If they experience harm, if they experience abuse, where they go? The people who are abusing them were people who they knew. They were people who were relatives. So it was not a matter of when you're having a discussion, somebody who's supposed to be a protector, your uncle, were the people who were creating the abuse. So part of the discussion and part of the reason why we wrote this paper was that we felt that we need to humanize the girl child, especially because in the themes that we found and the data we found, it was almost like the girl was not she was basically not considered a human. The treatment was horrible. This was among people that should be protected, their relatives. Because if you're looking at the family, whether you're looking at your uncle, your aunt, your sisters, those are the people who are the ones who are creating the harm. And a huge proportion of those girls that ended up in the street were from domestic, who came in as domestic workers. So in other words, going in as domestic did not protect them. So part of the experience was that in the hands of relatives. You also have to have a discussion in the issue of unprotected sex and including the risk of HIV because part of the documentation and interview, we found a lot of them also when they became pregnant used very unsafe method to get rid of the pregnancy. So we need to have a discussion of protection system, especially for the communities with high rural to urban migration, and especially when you're talking about street children, what type of voice should they be having in the discussion? We also need to have, even though when we have the African, especially African government discussion of protection of child, it should be important not just looking at institutions, but also looking at the cultural issues that some of could be driving some of the problems or the challenges that they are facing. The challenge also was that part of the problem for we saw did not start in the urban area, aside from the some terms of the dysfunctional. A huge proportion of these children are not had both parents. In other words, they had a mother and they had a father. The issue was dysfunction, not because sometimes when you some of the studies I work with is looking at vulnerable children who are orphans. But in this case, a lot of the had both parents alive, so it was not an issue of having not having a voice or a parent, a guardian. Okay. Thank you. So we need to have an alternative methods of protection. We need to have a reporting system for at-risk, especially in the rural areas, and we need to identify community practices that are negatively impacting the girls and see how we can address those issues in a robust manner. Okay. And part of the challenge, obviously, is trust. It was issue of trust, short time, and the transient nature of the population. And as I said, we need to have to develop a mechanism that will that are cultural sensitive, but also address the issue of harm that the girls can be able to use, and we can support them. Thank you very much. This study was supported by Save the Children, and which is part of the PAPFA funding. So I'd like to also thank them for giving the opportunity to be able to review that particular data. Thank you very much.
And on behalf of the Women's Caucus, I'd like to present you the certificate of award for having the highest scoring abstract out of all the abstracts that were submitted this year. So congratulations.